For those of you who missed it, the final gubernatorial debate was last night, and it was a dumpster fire. And not because of the candidates, because of the moderator. Last night's debate was hosted by the Indiana Debate Commission. It featured five of the six GOP candidates vying to be our next governor. And one of those candidates joining us live right now, we've got former Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning, Kayla. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? How about that moderator? He sure seemed like a peach, huh?
Oh, he was, you know, that was an incredibly poor performance. I've been through a lot of situations. And nothing like that. It was really sad that they took an opportunity for the public to hear from candidates and turn it into a biased quiz show type atmosphere.
Yeah, it was despicable. It truly was a shame. You know, all five of you up there on the debate stage last night, you had to spend more of your time bickering with the moderator instead of actually, you know, addressing the issues and informing Hoosiers where you stand on certain policies. So let's try this morning, Curtis, with our limited time together, to get to some of the meat and the bones that should have been discussed last night. Something that I really wanted to circle back to was the conversation about the state income tax. Lieutenant Governor Susan Crouch, she said she wants to eliminate it entirely. In fact, the quote was, axe the tax. You said that is a gimmick. Why is that, Curtis? Because there are multiple states out there who have done this. You know, you got Florida, Tennessee, and Texas, just to name a few. So why is axing the tax a gimmick?
Well, her plan is a gimmick because there is no plan. She talks about axing the tax as though she has a plan to eliminate $8 billion of spending, and then turns around and says, well, we can do it over time if we phase it in and live within our means and cut spending. Well, that's an overtime process. Axing the tax would suggest that she's got a plan to do something today. So it's no real plan. It's designed to get people excited, but at the end of the day, she's not really coming forward with an opportunity to do just that. What we need is a comprehensive review and real talk to Hoosiers, not gimmicks.
So speaking of a comprehensive review, that was kind of something, another one of your talking points, if you will, in the very limited time that you guys had to speak, when it came to the conversation about property taxes. I mean, that's always a hot topic on my show as well. You said the problem is with assessments and that you kind of need this comprehensive plan, this overlook of the process. What does that look like, Curtis? What would that look like under your leadership?
Well, the issue is that we have a multitude of ways in which to raise revenue to run government. The property tax is one of those. Income tax is one of those. Sales tax is one of those. We need to identify ways in which we can have a fair taxing system that provides a reliable source of revenue for the state, but as well as a fair one. It's not a matter of simply doing away with one tax or the other. For some people, property tax is the main issue. For others, it's income tax.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to load everything up on sales tax, but we have to have a process in which we have a reliable source of revenue and the best way of keeping it fair across the board. So we need to really study and work hard to get it right.
So you wouldn't be advocating to eliminate the income tax, but to at least look at it and come up with a fair taxing system. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, we would love to have a situation where we have no income tax, but the first step is making sure that we have a responsible revenue stream for a limited government. So we need to identify what our priorities are, what the cost of those priorities are, and then a fair way to assess revenue.
I also made note of something else you brought up. You said that day one you were going to eliminate and that you did want to eliminate DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And before I ask you how and why you plan to do that, I think this is always an important question to ask first and foremost to anyone, really. How do you define diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion are good words, but they've been misused as of late.
Yeah.
When we're talking about diversity, inclusion, and equity in the government sense or in the business sense of the word today, it's racial preferences. It's sexual preferences. There is no room for racial or sexual preferences or identity politics in our system today. So we want to remove that because it's a check-the-box mentality, and we're in favor of diversity, but not at the cost of excellence. And the same thing for inclusion. We want people to be included in our government, included in our businesses, but not at the cost of competence. We're seeing too many examples of that in the Biden administration, where people are chosen because of their identity as opposed to their competence or their merit. So we want to make sure that we don't send a signal out there that says Indiana is about racial preferences, sexual preferences, over the competence and excellence of individuals who are up for positions. And we want to reward on merit.
So day one, let's say you are an ex-governor. I mean, how do you just get rid of DEI? Or is it simply, I don't know, this could be silly, but is it simply like a labeling issue here?
Well, it's an agency that the Holcomb-Crouch administration put into place by executive demand. So it's simply a matter of eliminating that agency. It's a stroke of the pen situation I can do on day one by executive order. Easy.
Your standout moment to me, Curtis, last night, and let's be honest, there were a lot of them. A lot of them came from you, addressing the moderator, if you will, kind of reeling the moderator back in. You had a lot of those standout moments. But in terms of policy, your real standout moment to me was calling the feds an educational crack dealer. So essentially you're saying that schools need to stop accepting federal dollars, right?
Schools need to stop accepting the federal dollars because along with the federal dollars come the federal rules and regulations that screw up our school system. And so it is just like a crack dealer. The crack dealer gives you a sample of the drug so you get hooked on it and you keep coming back for more. That's what happens to Indiana schools. They're hooked on the federal government. Step number one is quit taking the money. You quit taking the money, you don't have to follow the obligations, and you can focus more on local interests, local realities, and then hold the local system, the local school boards accountable for what's going on in the schools.
Amen. I loved that moment last night, so I wanted you to have that moment again this morning. In fact, I might steal the feds being, you know, that line about them being educational crack dealers here on my show. At the end of the day, what's that?
By all means.
I appreciate it. I'll be sure to give you credit, Curtis. But at the end of the day, I mean, how do you feel like it went? I know that the moderator never really explained how much time you guys had to respond to questions. I know he never explained the rebuttal process. I mean, Brad Chambers had to ask, hey, do we have rebuttals? How does this work? I know you guys weren't informed whether you're going to have, you know, opening statements, closing statements, that it was a hot mess. So at the end of the day, though, Curtis, I'd love to get your thoughts. How do you think it all shook out? How do you think it went?
Well, I think it was one of the most unprofessional events that I had attended for all the hoopla.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible that the moderator chose to speak for Senator Braun.
Yeah.
That was incredible to me, and to speak for him in such a way that demonstrated a bias and demonstrated that he was a follower. He said, "Well, Senator Braun was just doing what everybody else did with the CARES Act, with the $4 trillion tax hike," and as I said, that demonstrates that Senator Braun is a follower and not a leader. But the wrestling match with the moderator really took away from the fact that we had an opportunity to talk to the public about our positions. And I think it ended up being who was strong enough to stand up against the moderator and what that says about your ability to be governor of the state of Indiana.
You know what I did? That's what I love that about you last night, Curtis. You stood up to that guy over and over and over again. In fact, during that Senator Braun moment, I believe you even said, you know, for a guy who isn't going to speak for Mike Braun, you sure are speaking for Mike Braun. And you got a round of applause.
Well, and he also misquoted the health department.
Yes.
Or taking up the health department on the TPR issue, that I'm the only gubernatorial candidate that has pressed the governor and the health department to come clean on TPRs to enforce our abortion ban. And he was singing the praises of the health department, erroneously trying to define for me, the former attorney general, what the standards were, and it just wasn't going to fly.
Well, hats off to you, Curtis. I would have hated to have been any five of you up there on the debate stage last night with that moderator. He was just pigeonholing you guys left and right. So job well done. I'm sure we'll talk more before May 7th.
Taylor, thank you very much, and have a great day.
Hey, you too. That's Curtis Hill, one of your candidates running to be your next governor here of Indiana. By the way, I follow Nikki Kelly on Twitter, aka X, whatever we're calling it here these days. She's been covering state and government politics in the state of Indiana since 1999. She's the editor-in-chief for the Indiana Capital Chronicle, but she actually writes on X, and this is important. She says, and I quote, "Texting with campaign folks, and they are not pleased. Braun's people were told they would read a statement from him, but Indiana Debate Commission didn't. Campaigns were also told there wouldn't be closing statements. We are seeking comment from the Indiana Debate Commission." I'm right there with you, Nikki. I would love to talk to the IDC about what went down last night, because it really was a train wreck.
Podcasts by Federated Media.